We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over everything.
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show, Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday. We survived that fake nor'easter yesterday.
Well, it was bad for some people.
It wasn't fake in some areas.
Over 4,000 flights were canceled yesterday.
Right. Yeah, but what was the weather really like, though? I mean, we talk about all of the things that happened, 4,000 flights canceled and all that, but what was the weather really like?
Well, our camera guy from Revolt couldn't make it in this morning because
I don't believe
him.
And it's still snowing out in Long Island. And
yeah,
yesterday we got a foot and a half by me, so it was
you
pretty bad.
You had a foot and a half by you?
Foot and a half of snow.
Well, how was that? I didn't get that at all. And you know how I gauged that? I gauged that by how easy it is to get out of the driveway in the morning. And it was very easy breezy.
Well, I got a plow company, but not a plow company. I had to come three times yesterday. It was that much snow.
Yeah,
it was a lot of snow.
It wasn't good for some people.
It was fake by me.
Mm-mm.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very light.
And you live about, what, 10 minutes from me? 15 minutes maybe? No, about 10 minutes from me?
Yeah. Very light.
Now, we had a lot of snow, and I know in Long Island, they're saying it's still snowing now, so a lot of people got a lot of snow, but it's over.
It's actually supposed to snow some more this morning.
This morning?
Mm-hmm.
In the Long Island only, though, right?
Oh, I don't know. It just said more snow.
Yeah, they were saying off the coast.
Lightly.
Off the Long Island, yeah.
But I know for people traveling, it was a nightmare yesterday.
Mm-hmm. But it's over, and I'm happy it's over, damn it. Because I was tired of, I'm not going to lie, I was tired of watching kiddie movies and playing Monopoly. I must have played Monopoly 9 times yesterday. I had 3 talent shows in my house, and I watched Sung twice.
Well, that's actually the best part of it. I mean, the fact that when you snowed in, everybody just, for whatever reason, you just feel so closer. I don't know what it is. Everybody just in the house around each other, keeping each other warm, I guess. But the only thing I don't like is the snacking, man. Because my wife
That's
and my daughter,
too.
They get to, like, they made cinnamon rolls yesterday. I'm like, why y'all making cinnamon rolls?
Yeah, they
made.
Yeah,
why?
Yeah,
why are you making cinnamon rolls,
my daughter,
man?
Made chocolate chip cookies, the soft ones that I couldn't eat.
Oh, man. I got time for all that, man.
Nah, then they just snacking all day long and you just hit crunch.
And so you get caught up in the habit because you're just in the house and there's nothing else to do. So you read, you watch a little TV, eat some snacks. I'm like, man, F that.
Interestingly enough, my favorite thing to do when it's snowing is to actually go out. So we went out to eat because you can walk places in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that's open. It's a great time to go and, like, be social. And there were a lot of people in the restaurant.
Nah, I mean, when it snows, I love to take the kids out in the yard and we just have fun place, you know, snowball fights, build a snowman, snow angels, do all the corny stuff that the kids love. And I have a good time doing it. It's just when we get inside, I'm tired. Like, I didn't see Sung at least 25 times.
Sung is actually a great movie.
It's great, but when you see it that many times, you're tired of it. I know what's going to happen the next part. I want to know how much money Maino makes from Sung. Because Mano's song, Million Bucks, is in song.
Million Bucks is in song.
It's in song, and I wonder how much he gets paid off that.
I feel sorry for the dude in song. Like, he reminds me of a lot of club promoters I know.
Which
like,
one?
You know, like the guy, the head,
the head guy.
Because, you know, he's been trying to throw all these parties for years, and none of them will pop off.
Right.
And then he finally get one, and he thinks he made it.
Yeah.
Good movie, though.
It's a great movie. All right, well, let's get the show cracking. Erica Alexander will be joining us this morning.
Whoa, this means a lot, because on Thursday nights, I was raised Jehovah's Witness. We used to have meeting on Thursday nights, so I would have to put the VHS tape in around 6:30, 7 o'clock before we would leave for the Kingdom Hall, just so I could catch Martin and Living Single on Fox.
Right.
All right?
But she also played Pam from The Cosby Show,
yes,
if you remember.
Yes, she did. But Pam from The Cosby Show, Maxine Shaw from In Living Single, mm-hmm. Maxine Shaw, attorney at law.
That's right.
Eric Alexander.
That's going to be a throwback today, so we'll kick it with her, see what she's been up to and all that. And let's get the show cracking. Front Page News, what are we talking about?
Man, this is hard to watch. A man that was unarmed in his own backyard killed by the police.
So why'd y'all watch it?
I mean, it was actually just video of the audio. You can hear them telling him to show me your hands, and then you hear the gunshots. I'm not going to play it this morning, but I'm telling you, there's video that they released of that.
Very sad.
And it's very, very, very difficult.
He had, what, two kids?
Yeah, we'll get into that in front of
my goodness. All right, we'll talk about it. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to front page news. Let's talk about this unarmed black man shot and killed.
Yes, Sacramento police did release this video. It shows the moments that an unarmed man who was suspected of breaking three car windows was killed by the police. He was in his own backyard. Two cops actually killed him. Now, when you hear the 911 call and then you hear the police responding from the video that they did release, you can hear them yelling at him to put his hands up. And then you hear a lot of gunshots being fired, about 20 bullets. Now, his grandmother, Saquita Thompson, told the Sacramento Bee he was at the wrong place at the wrong time in his own backyard. Come on now, they didn't have to do that. He did have two children.
That's sad.
Yeah, RIP. It was Stephen Clark?
I think Stephen Clark.
Stephen Clark, murdered in his own backyard for no damn reason.
23 years old. Now, body cam videos do show the cops running through the neighborhood, ordering him to stop and show his hands as they close in on him in the backyard. And then one of them yells out, "Show me your hands, gun." And then about 4 seconds later, I guess he had a cell phone on him, and they thought the cell phone, I guess, was a gun. "Show me your hands, gun, gun, gun." And then that's when you hear the bullets, the 20 bullets in the span of 2 seconds being fired.
I just feel like if you're a cop and you don't know the difference between a cell phone and a gun, maybe you don't need to be a cop. And like, they didn't give him no time at all from the time they said, "Put your hands up," to, from the time they started firing.
The sad part, I mean, it was pitch black outside, but there's certain protocol, I thought, and maybe I'm wrong.
Outside.
It was pitch black outside, but I thought that it's supposed to fire two or three times and then assess the situation. They fired 20 times. There was no other bullets coming
in
back
two
at
seconds.
Them. Yeah, there was no bullets coming back at them. They just was bop, 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 bop. Like, I'm kind of concerned and scared about protocol, and then they cut the mics off when they were talking. You know, basically said, you know, "Hey, mute." Make it basically, and then they turn their mics off.
Yeah, because they know they messed up at that point.
Exactly.
So being that they know they messed up at that point, they wanted to turn the recording off, so none of that can be held against them in the future.
Absolutely.
I just think some people should not be allowed to make mistakes, man. Like cops, surgeons, if it's a matter of life and death, you have to measure twice and cut once. And I understand cops have a very, 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 very tough job. But it's very tough just to be a black man in America as well, okay? Because I'm following proper protocol. You tell me to throw my hands up, I throw my hands up. I got my phone in my hand, and you mistake my phone for a gun, and then you shoot me?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? I got to throw my phone on the ground now, too? Do I got to announce I got a phone? Do you have to do that? Is that proper protocol for us as black men in America?
You shouldn't have to do that.
But I mean, it seems we do, because they mistake things that we have in our hands for guns. So should I say, "Hey, I have a phone," or "Hey, I have my wallet"? Should I say something like that just to make sure?
It's just super sad, because there is no even, man.
There
is no even. And like I said, the fact that they shot this man 20 times or shot 20 rounds, he didn't shoot back, and they just kept shooting. There has to be protocol, man, and hopefully with these cameras, they'll be convicted.
Nah, not if they can just press mute.
Now, let's talk about this Austin bomber situation.
Yes, Mark Anthony Condit, he recorded a 25-minute confession and killed himself in a final explosion. We told you about this. He had been terrorizing with package bombings in Austin for weeks. He's 23 years old, and in that recording, there was still no motive, so they don't know really the reason why. What they did find in his cell phone was him describing the components of the seven bombs that he built and the one that he used to kill himself, authorities believe, and he detailed the differences among the bombs. He did not make any references that suggested he was involved with terror groups or that the bombings were hate crimes or anything like that. They still don't understand why he did what he did.
Did the cops get a chance to shoot him, or they didn't get close enough?
No, I think he blew himself up.
He blew himself up before they got a chance to get close to him to shoot him?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's somebody who deserved to get shot.
Yeah, well, he blew himself up even better. All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, a horrible night, hated the snow, or maybe you just want to tell them why you're blessed. 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Zoe.
Hey, Mama, get it off your chest.
I'm just calling in about what you guys were talking about earlier about the black guy getting killed or shot like 20 times by the police.
Talk to us, baby.
That's nothing new. I just want to know, when are we as a people, as a black people, going to stand up, and when are we going to fight back? Because it's like we're protesting violence with peace, and it's getting us nowhere. And then they tell us to give it to God, a God that they gave us. When are we going to realize that we are the God that they're trying to, you know, destroy?
What do you suggest?
I suggest that we as a black stop saying, if black lives matter, then it's time that black lives matter. If you know, they're not saying black lives matter. If we're going to stand up, let's stand up. Let's do something. Let's stop talking about it. Let's stop getting mad that they're killing us. Of course they're killing us. Let's take what was rightfully stolen from us anyway as a people. Like, why are we bowing down to our own stuff? We build this, and then we're getting killed for it. It doesn't make sense.
Have a good day, my love.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Cece from 757.
Hey, Mama, 757. Get it off your chest.
I'm upset about the Stephon Clark murder.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, when is enough enough? When are we going to recognize that we need de-escalation training in our police department?
Right.
I'm really upset that this year alone, over 200 plus murders due to law enforcement.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, man, I hate when things like this happen, because these are those times where I really don't have any bright
nothing
ideas.
To say, right.
And so it's just like kind of frustrating. But I'm sitting there thinking, like, I know cops have other weapons. Maybe they should reach for that other weapon first. Like, you don't always have to go right for the gun.
The only problem with that is they'll always say, I felt like my life was in danger and I had to protect myself. That's what they'll always say. But in this case, it's just crazy because the man had a cell phone in his hand.
Correct, but we also have Muhammad Noor, who murdered the Australian woman, and he got charged with murder.
He got charged with murder.
Does blue lives matter only when you are a white cop?
True.
Word is born. Black cop killed he was black, right? The guy, he was black, and the woman was Australian.
He was Ethiopian.
Ethiopian.
Correct, he was Ethiopian.
He got charged with full-fledged murder. Now, when the hell do you see cops get charged with murder?
Right.
It was less than nothing, no coverage on that at all. It's just, you know, it's like it was supposed to be. He did wrong. He was supposed to go to, he's supposed to get charged for that. So now, do we expect for these officers now just to get off as usual? It's like a Band-Aid. He's ripping it off, and you don't heal from it.
They scared of us because we black. We scared of them because they cops.
Right.
It's going to be a constant cycle of blood and murder until something breaks.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Kurt Lee from Boca Raton, Florida.
Hey, good morning, Mama. Get it off your chest.
Oh, my God. You guys are so awesome. It's all positive vibes. I'm out running every single morning I run, and I listen to you guys. So, you know, you keep me company, and I appreciate it.
Ooh, I can hear you running right now, boy. I like this kind of dedication early.
Thank you, Mama.
Oh, you guys have a good day.
All right, boo.
She's going hard.
You know how hard it is to talk to people while you're running?
I know.
I appreciate that. I respect that.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what up, gang? Big Chuck with the Toe Sucker. How y'all feel?
Hey, Toe Sucker, what's up, man?
What's
get
up,
it off
toe
your chest.
Sucker?
Yeah, I heard Charlamagne talk about aliens the other day, so I'm going to do something about aliens with a little different voice and do it better than his. You ready?
Okay.
Hey, yo, this is Crazy Carl the Crackhead. Yo, an alien broke into my crack house the other day and took my crack, so I shot the mother effer before he got back in his spaceship.
I don't know.
I love our listeners, man. Our listeners are just authentically themselves, good, bad, stupid, don't even matter.
I just don't know.
I appreciate every single one of y'all.
Hello, who's this?
Philip Wonder.
Hey, what's up? Get it off your chest.
Just want to shout out y'all, The Breakfast Club. Been a big fan since, like, the beginning. And want to project some positivity. Thank God for blessing us all this day, for waking us up. Thank God for our family. And can I drop 16 right quick?
No, man. You see, you were so positive.
All right, let's go.
You just insult the whole world.
Nothing in this world could hold me back at times life acts so coldly. Facts at times like this. Heart is frozen, overdosing to ignore emotion.
Oh, God.
The trees are blazing and snow is
Yo, I ain't had my tea yet, man. I ain't had my green tea yet. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had no breakfast. You know, but black men still getting shot and killed out here because cops think that they got guns when they got cell phones. Like, I ain't got time for this yet, man.
Why does everybody think they can rap?
I don't know, because for 20, 30 years, that was the only way out of the hood. But it's a lot of different ways to get out of the hood now, man. You don't have to just rap, man. Please stop.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051 if you need to vent. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to be talking about Amber Rose. She's not too happy about people judging her son. We'll tell you what he got excited about and her going off.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
And before we get into that, we should pat ourselves on the back because Michael Blackson and Georgia Rain have gotten back together.
They did?
Yeah, she actually sent me a little thank you message.
Oh, they got back together?
She posted, I agreed to dinner at my favorite restaurant and $10,000 cash app and said I got an all-you-can-eat buffet and a $100 Victoria's Secret gift card.
Well, see, you know, The Breakfast Club with our unorthodox ways, we do make good positive things happen.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah.
So now they are dating again, and she did send a little thank you boo. So.
But when y'all break up again, don't blame us for anything.
Look, we did our part.
Yeah, we did our part. Yeah, we're good.
All right. Now, Taylor Swift sent concert tickets to Amber Rose for her son, for Sebastian, and he was super excited. Check out Amber Rose giving those tickets to a baby Bash.
Taylor Swift sent that to you.
Really?
Yeah.
For real?
She did. Open it up.
This is gonna be so exciting.
And guess what?
What?
She gave us tickets to go see her in concert.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, she sent me a letter.
Yeah, say thanks, Taylor.
Thanks, Taylor.
Thank you, Taylor, for this unseasoned chicken. Don't give your kids unseasoned chicken.
Nah, that's so dope, man. He's a Taylor Swift fan. That's a great thing.
Right, well.
Absolutely great.
Apparently, people started coming at her son for being excited about Taylor Swift tickets. And
why?
I have no idea. So she went on a rant. She said, shout out to all of the hyper-masculine men and ignorant, dumbass women that will call a five-year-old gay for liking Taylor Swift.
Whoa.
This is why young kids kill themselves, and this is also why our society is so effed up. Liking a certain type of music will not make you pick your sexuality, you dumb effs. P.S. My son just got accepted into the most prestigious private school in L.A. because he's smart as F and creative as F, like his parents. We allow him to be himself. He can listen to whatever music he likes. He can like whatever color he wants. And we let him be passionate about whatever his little heart desires. We don't make our son live by society norms. That's why he's so special. And she goes on to say, regardless if he's gay or straight, when he gets older, he will be around the most amazing, loving people that will support him no matter what. He also has more money in his bank account than any of you trolls could even imagine.
Well, I want to help you with this one, Amber, but see, I like Taylor Swift 1989 album, but people think I'm gay, so I'm not the best person to chime in on this. But
and I can't say nothing.
Yeah, but I will say, do you. Raise your kid. F what these haters got to say on social media. This era lives their lives trying to satisfy other people's demands, and we have learned to live by other people's points of view because of fear not being accepted. But F all that. Do you. Raise your kid the way you want to. End the story.
Do nothing you. Absolutely. He likes it. We love it, man.
Now, Kanye would never get his kids tickets to see Taylor Swift.
Nah, that wouldn't happen now.
All right, now let's talk about Braxton Family Values. We told you yesterday that Tamar has not been wanting to promote the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't like the way that Vince is portrayed on there. Well, Trina Tawanda and Tracy Braxton said, it's too bad. Don't be a hypocrite. Check it out.
one of the crazy things is you can't talk about our relationships and think that it's okay. And then when it's reciprocated, it's supposed to be off limits. And besides, we're not the ones who put it on social media about her, you know, truculent relationship with her estranged husband.
When Trina and I was going through our divorces, she had a lot to say. She made a lot of opinions. As a matter of fact, when Trina was talking about her divorce, she shouted. I just think that it's almost as if, okay, I can do you, but you better not do me. Unfortunately, I wish some of this stuff was scripted, but this is real life.
She's absolutely right.
That's a good point.
100%. You cannot say what you want about people or individuals, and then when it comes back to you, you get upset.
Absolutely.
You just can't do it.
All right, now, Kodak Black wants to get a GED while he is in prison. So he's going to progress his education. He requested a tutor to come visit him. And his legal team also requested he have access to a computer for his continued study. So we'll see if the judge will allow that.
They should allow it. The only problem is that they don't be respecting those prison certifications when they come home. Like, when they get the GEDs in prison, that they get the degrees in prison, they don't respect them when they come home.
Right.
Now, he was in solitary confinement, but he's out of there now. He had been sentenced to 30 days in solitary after he went against the rules and made a three-way call, but he is out now from there.
The whole point of jail should be correctional facilities, for real, for real. They should let these kids go get education while they're in there, let them get their physical bodies back together, like, just make them better people so when they come into society, they can contribute.
They also got to want to do it, though. They have to want to do it.
I think they will.
Well, yeah, he requested it.
Yeah, he requested that's good.
When you got nothing but time, you'll do that.
Right. And he's due back in court on May 3rd for his two remaining charges from when he got arrested on January 18th. All right, congratulations to my guy Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest. He did announce that he's going to be starring as Miles Davis in Nelson George's play My Funny Valentine. So congratulations to him.
Drop on a clues bomb for Q-Tip, damn it.
I haven't seen Q-Tip in a long time.
Is his forehead big enough to play Miles Davis?
He'll be fine. I actually went to dinner with Q-Tip last week. We've been talking about doing some things.
Really? How's he doing?
Oh, he's doing great.
I haven't seen him in a minute.
A lot of things happening, but yes, he's going to come up to the Breakfast Club, so I guess he'll be coming up here to announce that amongst other things that he's working on.
Okay.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Now, when we come back, Erica Alexander will be in the building.
Maxine Shaw, attorney at law, Pam from The Cosby Show. If you was a Jehovah's Witness like me growing up and you recorded Thursday night programming and you know about putting that VHS tape in that VCR around 6:30 so it records till about 9, then you understand why I'm so excited to see Erica Alexander this morning. Damn it.
All right. We'll talk to her when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Get some money. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
This is a very special guest.
I know as Pam. I don't know what you call her.
I call her Maxine.
You call her Maxine.
Yeah, I mean, I know her real name, too, but right, I'm saying. Yeah.
I call her Pam from The Cosby Show. Yeah, you call her Maxine from Living Single.
Yes.
But her real name is Erica Alexander.
Absolutely. Right. I answer to it all. And thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, we're
thank
excited
you.
To have you.
You don't thank understand you. What I had to go through on Thursday nights to see you.
No.
Because I was a Jehovah's Witness growing up. So we used to go to the Kingdom Hall on Thursday nights. Ah. Those were the days of VHS tape. Mm. So I had to press record at like 6 o'clock, 6:30 and make sure you got a 4-hour tape. So it just record everything.
Wow.
Leading up
well,
to
I'm impressed.
Oh, you have to do that. I
think you get a special medal for that. That's beautiful. You know, it was a funny thing because it was a different time. And now that everyone has things streaming to them, they don't have to think about those things. But I never saw Living Single until we stopped taping.
Really? Wow.
Really?
No.
Why?
Because we filmed on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. Mm. That was our filming night. We did two shows that day.
And there was no DVR then, right?
No. So we'd either wait for them to, you know, to come on. But the truth is, we rarely saw ourselves.
You could have been to Charlamagne's house and seen it.
You know, here's the thing. We didn't. Okay. You know, the critique is your audience. Either they laughed or they didn't.
Gotcha.
And you sort of had the good feeling of it, and they would tell you where you're at. And frankly, for a sitcom, you need the audience to tell you. It's a back and forth, and they are the fourth character in a sitcom.
Wow. How many people told you, how many women were like, I became a lawyer because of you?
You know what? More than I feel I deserve. I mean, Marilyn Mosby, who's up in Baltimore, she said it. Mayor de Blasio and his wife, Charlene McCray.
Really?
Told him how important it was to them. You know, you meet people and they say hello and then they tell you something special like that. And then you realize that representation matters.
It does.
And there I was, and I hadn't gone to college. I still haven't. Mm. And I was being a lawyer, but just, you know, graduated high school and kept working because my father passed. And, you know, I just wanted to help my mother. And here I was helping people go to college and become lawyers.
That's why we need more shows like that on TV. I know we have Black-ish, but the reason I went to Hampton It's because of Hillman. Like, it made me want to go to college.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, and, you know, when I watched Hillman and Whitley and all of them and wanted to go to college,
uh-huh.
and I was in there. But you know what? Things don't always work out that way.
Right.
And I was glad that I could help my family. But there you go.
Well, what happened, though? Because around that time, black characters on primetime were so positive. Maxine was a lawyer. Different World had the kids.
Yes.
Cosby Show was a doctor and a lawyer. But then it was just like, oh, let's flip the switch and show some negative representation. What happened?
I don't know exactly what happened. I think racism happens. There's an institutional, structured racism and bias and prejudice in people's minds. And I think even after the huge success of Cosby Show, 227, Different World,
Linda Single Martin,
Will Smith's show, there was no reason for them to digress or go and divert themselves to that. But that's exactly what happened. And you can only say that, you know, it's, you know, showbiz is monitored by real people. Mm-hmm. And that's not only did that happen, they segregated television. In fact, they got rid of mostly black cast shows from 2000 until like Shonda Rhimes started to show up. There was, you know, I don't want to discount Bernie Mac's show. And then there was Chris Rock's. Everybody loves Chris. But for the most part, just nothing. And it was a really hard time. And then suddenly the bottom dropped out of the market, and people who weren't doing well were doing worse and losing their homes. And that happened to all of us. And it was unfortunate. And then things started to turn, but it needed Shonda Rhimes to do Grey's Anatomy and have power, and then to bring Kerry Washington and Viola Davis, you know, a different type of black lead.
Now, you said lose homes. Was it that bad? Like, was...
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. It was that bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did better than most. Well, it was not that I would work and do guest spots, and people would always often say, you know, we don't see you as much. And I say, you don't see me as much because there are very few parts.
Mm-hmm.
And the parts that we get, they're not paying as much. They're paying so-called top of show. They got this whole line that they would say, oh, you can't get more than top of show. And if you were... The more successful the show was, the less you would get paid.
What?
Yeah, the less it mattered.
That's not like that's not like a black person.
Yeah, I don't understand how that
Yes. Yeah, no, it was unfortunate, and it's actually still in place.
Did you hate reality show at that time? Because reality shows were taking everything at one time.
I don't know. You know, I think I did. I mean, not because they were just taking the place. I just thought it was a poor representation of what black women were being able to do. And frankly, if you didn't fit in that mold, there was nothing you could do. I mean, you sort of watched it and you kind of, I mean, look, it was like watching a train wreck. And I enjoyed it in that way because I actually didn't think it was real at first. Took me a long time to sort of get that, no, this is real and yet it's not real.
It's supposed to
be. Yeah.
It's scripted reality.
Why is Flav on my TV?
You remember that?
Yes.
Yes. Fascinating. I mean, you know, but that's a whole time. It's a whole time. And we go back and we see the, you know, you see the beginning and the fringes of this thing that's sort of encroaching. And you have no idea its impact on the community, what it means for you, what it means for how people see you or perceive you. But then suddenly you're in auditions and there's the person that you see right opposite you for the same part. And you thought, well, are we the same type of person? They should have the right to go for those parts, but maybe they really don't know what I do if I'm in the same room with them.
Right.
I really believe you when you say that it's systemic, though, because you think about all the positive images we had on television. The ratings were there. The revenue was coming in. There was no reason to change it other than black people was getting smart.
Right.
People were being influenced. Like you said, you wanted to go to college. Other people wanted to be lawyers. That's the only reason.
Yes. There's no other explanation for it. Mm-hmm. And that just shows you how deep and dark racism is, and it's in our minds. And then there's a lot of, you know, we have to take some of the blame too. There's a lot of those images we weren't force fed. We also, you know, wrote. And when you got in those rooms, they often would only support the ones that played to the pathology or, you know, the cartoonish version of us. Anything that was deeper that they maybe say a Steve McQueen or somebody else might pitch was immediately seen as being, you know, false. No, nobody would ever watch that. And, you know, forced us to do comic books to try to, you know, do proof of an idea, you know, and go in at a very low margin and just to try to talk about something and that would be more than in our heads.
Mm. Now, you did come in here bearing gifts for us.
I did. Concrete Park was one of those ideas. At the time, my brother and my writing partner, who was my husband then, Tony Puryear, had an idea called Concrete Park. And we went around talking about it, and we met this studio executive who in the middle of our pitch stopped us and said, stop it right there. He said, black people don't like science fiction because they don't see themselves in the future. We looked at him and we're like, what?
Tell me what black people like.
I know, can you imagine? Right. You know, and he went on and told this whole story about it. But, you know, for whatever reason, that was his thing. And Tony stopped and he said, well, let me tell you something. For black people, the past is painful, the present precarious, but the future is free.
Ooh.
We always create the future. That's why you have rock and roll and the blues and jazz. He says, we're the aliens that you took from across the ocean to rock your world and make your planets twirl. And by the way, there's Samuel Delaney and there's Octavia Butler. And the number one star, science fiction star in the world was Will Smith. Mm. He clearly didn't know what he was talking about.
Right, clearly.
But that's at the head of a studio to tell us that. Two black people who we thought knew better. And
was that Joss Whedon?
Oh, no.
That wasn't him?
No, that wasn't him that said that. In fact, Joss Whedon and Sue called me to do Giles,
which
is a Buffy spinoff.
Okay.
No, he's one of the good guys. He's one of the Avengers.
Gotcha.
You know, but...
I'm calling white allies Avengers.
No. But whoever said that, you know, I'm going to dedicate a book to him one day.
Oh,
but I'm saying, it forced me to create a new skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's good. I mean, you get tired in this business. I've been doing this since I was 14. You find different ways to recreate yourself and be able to have a conversation that's beyond any one character or show. And you can't do it if you don't have the opportunities, or more importantly, if they just don't exist. So we did the comic book again to just show people this is what it'll look like. And then we came out in 2013. It was one of the best American comics. And Forbes said it was one of the best graphic novels in America. And we're still out there doing it. And now the world has changed.
All right, we have more with Erica Alexander when we come back. You might know her from Pam as the Cosby Show or from A Living Single. So keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Erica Alexander in the building, of course, actress. She played Pam in The Cosby Show. She was also in Living Single. Now, how did you get on The Cosby Show?
That would have been just in between 9th and 10th grade.
Wow.
And just after 12th grade, I went around the world with the Royal Shakespeare Theater and did the movie in Paris, came back, did a play at the Public Theater with Joseph Papp and Gloria Foster. It was his last play before he passed. And Camille Cosby saw me in that play and kept... kept telling Bill Cosby to come see not only Gloria Foster, and she was the woman in The Matrix who says, have a cookie, you'll feel right as rain, light-skinned woman. She said, you have to see Gloria and this little girl. And I was the girl she was talking about.
Wow.
I had already auditioned several times for The Cosby Show, you should know that, and never got a role because, you know, I was right in that great age group where I could have been Malcolm's girlfriend or Tempest's girlfriend or Lisa Bonet's friend, but never had they found a place. They kept saying, oh, we'll find a place for you. And by the way, back in the day, that was the only game in town. You know, there was no other place for a young person to be or audition. Mm-hmm. So
a young black person.
Young black person. There were really no shows. Maybe Roseanne had a few things that going on. But I got a call. Could you be at his house in 2 hours? And I showed up, the casting director was there, and he told me he'd created a role for me.
Wow.
And it was
wow.
called Cousin Pam.
I remember when you first got on Cosby Show back in the day, it was like you brought that hip-hop edge to the show, and I was wondering, was that planned, or was that just you? Because at the time, hip-hop was on the rise, so I didn't know if Cosby was trying to inject some hip-hop flavor into the show.
He might have, but I think what happened, it's funny that they would choose me from Arizona to be hip-hop, and I think, you know, they just saw the dark skin, and, you know, you say, oh, that person will give us the other side of the tracks. The show was getting a lot of criticism for being unrelatable. And so I think he wanted to bring in another character who wasn't a high middle-class wage kid who would show, you know, what it was like to live on the other side. He chose me. I'm kind of a very tame version of that.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way on the show you would come in and be doing all that. And that wasn't his vibe. So.
But it seemed natural, though. Like, it seemed edgy for Cosby. Like, it was like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, she won us.
I'm glad you say that.
You and your friend.
I thought it was a bit unnatural, but I was playing the part.
What was your best friend on the show? She was in Lean On Me.
Charmaine.
There you go.
Yeah, that was Lean On Me, Charmaine, right. Karen Melina White. And you know what? And thank God they brought them. Not only that, Al Payne.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, they gave, I don't really know if the writers knew what to do with Cousin Pam. And I think it was kind of sort of given to them like, okay, now go. And so when they gave me a posse to be with, it gave me a storyline.
Gotcha.
Because I sort of just would float around and be, hey, Cousin Claire, how are you doing? Can I set the table? you know, come on, not real. So they gave me them, and then we had something to do.
Now, with everything going around with Cosby, did you see any of that? Because I was just thinking, right, when we were talking about Black-ish in high school, Cosby, even as a father now, I do a lot of the stuff Cosby does back then. Like, I remember having my daughter on my leg, and I'm shaking her back and forth because I remember that from the show.
Mm-hmm. I remember what you're talking about.
Even the acting stuff that he did. Baby! I make my kids do acting things because he kind of raised me as a second dad.
And you do Zerberts, maybe?
I do Zerberts and all that.
Yes, that's true.
So did you see any of that?
Nothing wrong with doing anything his character did.
His character did.
He's Cliff Huxtable. Okay?
That's true. Yes. For me, it would have been James Evans of Good Times, because he was most like my father. Was hard. He would whoop you. You know, I was afraid of my father, that type of thing. Bill Cosby was like the best version of what a black dad could be. He would talk to you. He would actually say what was going through your mind. And I don't, a lot of growing up, a lot of children didn't get talked to. They weren't seen as individuals with autonomy. So he gave people autonomy psychologically that was freeing for the black community to sort of say there's a different way to relate to children. And yes, I saw that, and I was very much influenced by it.
Did you see this sinister energy that Lisa Bonet
was saying?
Unfortunately, he wasn't who we all thought he was, and it was disappointing. And it's not only dreadful, it's painful. I think I saw things that I thought were cruel at the time, but I had also been raised in a cruel world. Mm. You know, I really had been. So you kind of talk yourself into things and say, well, you know, that's how adults are, you know, and at the time I was 19, playing 15. You kind of take it. You kind of know in your heart that that's much more than you would want to see.
Did he try something with you?
No, thank God. You know, and I don't have a Me Too moment. Both my mother and my sister were raped in life.
Yikes.
So I take it very seriously, allegations like that, but not me. I'm very happy.
Can you give us an example of what you considered cruel from Bill Cosby?
Well, you know, I think when you're the biggest star in the world, and in the world, let's be clear, and he's not just creating television, he's creating must-see TV. After a while, things like a thing, you get heady, it goes to your head, you forget yourself. When I say you forget yourself, you forget that you're representing not only, you know, the show and that, but you're representing, you know, who people think you are.
Right.
So when you go in, I don't expect the person to be goody-goody, but you do expect them to have some, you know, decorum and some, you know, class about things. And sometimes it's just violating. You go, I just didn't expect that. And like I said, it probably would have been no more than what other people might have seen, you know, going to church. And then, you know, the woman that you admire in church, you know, gets nasty and you go, what is that?
Right.
But
why is this Jenkins twerking?
People, the way you dismiss people, the way you know what I mean? It's like that.
Well, I always say the true test of a person's character is how they treat people who can't do nothing for them.
Right.
There you go. There's power. You know, responsibility to power is how you treat people when no one's looking, when it's in the dark. And it's not that, you know, again, I think people who are in the limelight have a special burden. And often people will give you a pass and say they can't always be. You know, you have the right to be human.
You don't have to be a role model.
No. Right. And you more than that, you don't have to sit there and make everybody feel good. You can sit there and just say, I just want to be, do you mind? Thank you. And be by yourself. It's hard to get that space. And sometimes you get a little testy. That's important. But then again, you know, it's part of the burden of what you have. And no one can really understand it that's not going through with
it. With great power comes great responsibility.
Thank you, love. I was trying to get that, but my mind didn't work. You know, yeah, there you go. And I think that's when you look at Dave Chappelle and people who had that, you know, thing happen and they sort of say, hey, look, I got to go away. That's what they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Now, both your parents were orphans. How did they meet?
Well, you know, as orphans do in church.
Okay.
You know, they're both their godfather, or I should say like their godfather, was the evangelist in town. He was the bishop. His name is Bishop W.C. Griffin. And he became the bishop of that northwest half of America. Bishop Blake in L.A. took over for him. I mean, in a way, I'm from church royalty, if you look at it that way. I mean, he was a really heavy dude. But then they were just in the dust bowl of New Mexico. And it was a very Southern Gothic existence. My grandmother was a witch. She died in witchcraft.
Mm.
My father started to preach and was ordained since he was 6 years of age. They said he was a special child, that he literally would sit on a porch and people would come up, and before he could even walk, he would stand up, do scripture, and then go back to playing.
Wow.
My father, who was prone to exaggeration and, as to say, straight up lying, would say some of these stories, but my mother, who is not, said, no, Erica, it was very true. Oh, wow. And they went around in a car, and they would go on reservations or wherever they were called, live in people's garages, and he was a healer. They would bring him in, and what would happen, there would be a few people in the audience at first. They would pitch a tent, and then he would pray, do something, and then everybody would heal. Everybody would hear about a person who was healed, who they knew their whole life had some ailment or sickness. Wow. And then the next night, there would be tons of people overflowing, Indian, Mexican, white, black, to see this young healer. That was my dad.
And that's crazy because your dad got sick at early, 35.
Right.
Wow. He got sick.
Nobody could heal him?
You know, it's funny. He died. They gave him a church in East New York. Before he died, I made some peace with him because he wasn't the kindest person. And he said he wished that that God had healed him, and he always wondered why. Sorry. And I wondered too.
All right, well, we have more with Erica Alexander. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Erica Alexander in the building. You might know her from Living Single or Pam from The Cosby Show. Charlamagne?
You said so much that I wanted that. Like, first of all, your aunt being a witch.
Yeah. my grandmother.
Grandmother being a witch.
His mother was a witch.
And she would go down and get goofed with us.
Well, she would go. Listen, she had a restaurant. You know, black people, we do so many things. Catering and all that. So back in the day, you really didn't have a life job. You would do things, and she had a little cafe, you know, a hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. And she would put dust over the door, so when people came in, the bell would ring, and dust would fall on it.
Oh, no.
Yes, and they called it goofer dust. Well, right across the street was her competitor, and they would have goofer dust, too. So she would go back and forth to down deep south, like, you know,
South
New Orleans,
Carolina,
all that. Yeah,
New Orleans,
deep in where you're from, you know, and go get stronger and stronger formulas.
Goofer dust.
Mm-hmm. Well, one time she came back, and she, by the way, she would just leave my father so he'd just be on the streets. One time she came back, and a Mexican family took him in, and he didn't even remember English. And they begged her to let him stay. Let Roberto stay, please, Roberto. They called him Roberto. Mm-hmm. And she took him. She came back, and they said she was all twisted up with her head in between her legs, barking like a dog.
Wow. Ooh, and that voodoo, that root, boy, I'm telling you. Yeah. You're coughing up frogs.
And they said that the women in the church went to go get my eventual godfather, which was William Griffith. And he came, saw it. He left 3 days. He went and fast and they pray. And then they come back and then they laid hands on her. And they got her through it. And this is the story now. Wow. I'm just telling you they got her through it. And when she came out of it, he says, daughter, the Lord told me to tell you that if you go back, you'll come back in a box. No, Rev. I promise. I gave this up. I'm not going to give it to you. He said, I'm just telling you what the Lord told me to tell you. And my father's last memory of his mother is her getting in a car, a red Cadillac, because her boyfriend's name was Red, and he would just drive through and take her away. And him begging her, please, Mom, don't go. Don't worry, Robert. I'll be back. And 2 weeks later, they brought her home in a box.
Damn it, man.
So have you ever wanted to put a little dust on somebody? Like when friends stole the idea for Living Single, did you want to throw any dust on that?
No, yeah, that would be nice. I wish I had some dust. I put a lot of dust on people.
Yes,
you know, put a little over the White House door. You know, I don't know.
The White
you
House door.
Just slip by, everybody.
By the way, when he made them comments about Haiti being a shit old country, I was like, somebody gonna catch him.
I heard you see that.
Somebody gonna get him.
No, you're right. I didn't think about it till you said it.
They ain't get close to him yet. That's all.
Yeah, well, it's probably already happening.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, that's in the coming. He made that happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just probably, you know, speed bump, you know, forcing it through like fuel.
What do you think about all these reboots they're doing, just to shift gears for a second, of television shows? Are you into it? Are you thinking, okay, I'd love to see Martin or The Fresh Prince or Living Single or anything like that, reboots?
Well, I don't know, Angela. Listen, here's what I think. I think it's great. People are nostalgic for, you know, things in the past, maybe for a good reason. It happens. But for me, I always try to be honest and said, if my film and television career had been a lot better, I might not have any problem dipping my toe back into that water and going and doing the Max character. But for me, time is so finite. You have so little time. I think I just want to see if I can do other things.
Right.
And see, you know, if I can get people as happy for me or, you know, into a different character or in a different way. So, I mean, that's my goal now. Mm-hmm. Never say never. I enjoyed them, and this wouldn't be because I didn't have a good time. Just a matter of, you know, I just know that maybe because I do come from orphans and my father did pass, that you don't get tomorrow. Right. Today is it.
Is it true that the character of Maxine Shaw wasn't supposed to be a regular?
No. I was supposed to come in every now and then. And that's why you always saw her. The good news is that she was the only one who could afford her own apartment, which I really liked.
Really
you
know, nice being place.
She was really nice. Exactly. But she ate other people's food, so that helped offset the cost. But no, I was supposed to come in every now and then, and it turned out that they saw in the pilot that the audience really liked the ensemble. And I didn't know that, you know, and it wouldn't have mattered to me. I'm used to being an ensemble player, so if I'd come in every now and then that would have been the gig. But it just worked out that they knew what they had. They wrote toward that.
Because the show was built around Kim and Latifah, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Latifah and Kim had a deal. I think they even had the same agent. They had the same agent, I think, as Yvette Lee Bowser, who created the show. And I think they put it together as a package. I don't know if Kim Fields did, but I was like, TC and I were the last two people they added. We were born on the same day. We met in a hotel. We had auditioned for it, and I guess a day after they cast us, there we were doing the table reading, and we were up on our feet.
How did you feel about Friends ripping off Living Single back in the day? And was it true that Living Single was supposed to be named Friends?
Yes.
Really?
Well, we were called My Girls when we first did our pilot. And it didn't test well, you know how they test things. So they came down, and we were now filming the actual series. And one of the executives had a whole list of names, 3 or 4 or 5 of them. And he read them out, and it was Living Single, Friends, blah, 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 blah. And they chose Living Single for us, and then the next year, they created Friends.
Oh, the same people that had
the same people
names.
Were Warner Brothers. They're both right. Were Warner Brothers.
God
we were on the
damn.
Ranch lot, and they were on the big lot. We called the ranch the ghetto lot. We had nothing on that lot. We actually had no air conditioning or heat.
Oh,
we had a walkout. That's because crazy. We had no. Our craft service table was basically rice with Tabasco sauce and Ritz crackers, you know. And, you know, I just come from Cosby Show. I didn't expect them to have a spread like that. That's what you get when you're number one in your market and all that. But I did expect us to have some kind of, you know,
protein.
Yeah, can we have a piece of ham or something? So no, that's what's happened with Friends. Yeah, and you know, and at the end of our run, we were being paid a lot less, and people would say, "Well, you had a smaller market share." I said, "Compared to what? You know, comparatively, yes, but you know, if you think about how much they made paying us so little, and how much they made in syndication all around the world all these years."
Mm-hmm. Get the goddamn Goofy dust. What is
thank
it?
You.
Go get it.
Get the Goofy dust. Get the Goofy dust. Because
Goofy.
Yeah,
because
they $2.5 million
sheesh.
To our $55,000 at our nadir.
The whole cast?
No, per episode.
Okay, okay.
That sounds like a lot of money, and it is then, but you know, if you $2.5 million per episode for them.
Oh, production 50, budget.
Or, no, for our, you know, like my salary.
Okay, gotcha.
$55,000
gotcha.
Per week. Okay, 26 shows. But if you were Friends, $2.5 million per week.
Per week? That's
per
crazy.
Per person.
Well, did it have anything to do with the network? Were they on NBC?
They were on NBC and we were on Fox. It does. I mean, you know, Fox wasn't considered a network then. It got a lot of breaks to become a network. But also what happened is that you're seeing the fact that we didn't get the marketing, we didn't get the play. There were a lot of things that are in place to hold down and make you not feel as valuable. But I'm sure if they looked and scaled and, you know, looked at it and how much they made versus what they put in, I'm sure we're on par, if not way beyond what they made.
Right. I can't name one person off Friends. I'm fully aware it was a huge
no,
show.
Just character.
Jennifer Aniston.
No,
Jennifer, oh, she was on Friends? Oh, I don't know.
She was.
Yeah.
She was on Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Joey Lawrence on there? Never mind.
Joey Lawrence.
I don't know. All white people look alike to me.
Funny.
Well, Miss Erica Alexander, this has been a pleasure. You
it's
hear
my
me?
Pleasure.
Color
thank you so
Media
much. You,
production
by the way,
company. We are looking for people.
Yeah, we are looking for you. And thank you so much for all that you do, because you have to know I watch all your shows.
Thank you.
I mean, everything
thank you for
is
having
online.
No, taste.
No. I learned so much. And I really am fascinated about how you get to be young people of color here and talk to people about things, current events, and also be kind of, you know, digging and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really a sharp, you know, to be sharp, and you have to be on it all the time. And I'm impressed.
Early.
I think it's a beautiful thing. It's not something that ever happened while I was growing up. you know.
Oh, well, that means cool. a lot. And hopefully that means a lot.
Congratulations on your book and
thank you.
All the things that are happening with you. And congratulations on everything.
Yeah, hopefully that means a lot to kids who watch, too. And they can say, oh, I see a lot of people always hit us up like, oh, I want to do something like The Breakfast Club or I want to do radio. You guys inspire me.
Representation
It is
matters.
A big deal, representation.
It does. No, it more than matters. It's changing people's lives. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. I can't wait to see what you do next. I know you got some fire scripts you sitting on.
Well, thank you. I'm doing the best I can. I better take my vitamins. Glad I was here.
It's Erica Alexander, y'all, The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Hey, salute to Erica Alexander for coming through this morning, man. Dropping the cruise bombs for Erica Alexander. Maxine Shaw, attorney at law. Okay.
She's
dope throwback. Dope
yes.
throwback.
My spirit is full after talking to Miss Erica this morning. That full interview will be up on Breakfast Club YouTube page. Somebody just tweeted me and said, how come the best interviews get the shortest airtime? All the interviews get the same amount of airtime.
That's not true. Yeah, they all get the same airtime.
Full interview will be online later.
All right. Well, let's get to the rooms. Let's find out what artist got robbed in the studio.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, this was unfortunate. Young Berg, who's now Hitmaker, and A1 Bentley from Love & Hip Hop Hollywood, they were in the studio together. They were on Instagram Live. I guess A1 had Lyrica's phone, and he was on her Instagram Live. And that's when you hear some men enter the room screaming, put that camera down. The scene then cuts, and when it comes back, A1 is running around the studio saying, did anybody see the men who ran up with the guns drawn? Check it out.
Mm-mm. Bro, I don't know, my nigga. I don't f***ing know, my nigga. Did he hit you with the gun? Bro, y'all ain't see shit, my nigga. Y'all didn't see two niggas running here with a gun, my nigga?
No. We was all in the room, bro. We're in the
How
room.
How the f*** y'all letting my f***ing run in, nigga?
So who got robbed?
Seemed like Young Berg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Young Berg and A1, I guess. And that's that they were showing their jewelry and stuff like that while they were on live from the studio and that kind of...
Well, anybody can get robbed. Anybody can
yes,
get
Yes, they
it.
Can.
They shouldn't be getting... Not in the studio. That should be locked down, a place where they can feel like they can work and be safe.
I didn't know Young Berg was still the hip-hop pinata. It was a point in time when Young Berg was the hip-hop pinata. Like, people was hitting him up and, like, chains was falling out, money. They was getting a lot off him, but I didn't know he was still doing that to Young Berg.
Well, A1 is planning to sue the studio. He believes that it was an inside job, so... They said an intern had actually been in the studio. When the intern left, they propped the door open. And after 1 minute or so after the intern left, that's when the men came in with the gun. So they believe that it was a setup.
Where'd that happen at? What city?
I'm sure L.A.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they were.
Mm.
But, yes. So all of that is online.
Because he asked him. He was like, did he hit you with the gun? And
Young
he was
like, yeah. Said yes. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. XXXTentacion has asked to be let off house arrest, and the judge has just granted that. That was because they said the last few months, these will be his first steps toward complete freedom. He's going to submit to monthly drug tests and report his travel as well. So now he wants to be able to work and make some money. So he wants to abide by the same probation terms he was subject to prior to his most recent charges in the domestic violence case. So now he's able
What happened
to-
with those charges? Did he ever get found guilty?
I think he's still pending. That's why he was on house arrest and he still has to go to court and everything. Mm-hmm. So. We'll see what happens. All right. Now, when Tory Lanez was up here on The Breakfast Club, he talked about almost having Nicki Minaj on the album on the song Shooters. Here's what he said.
Yeah, Nicki was on Shooters. She did an incredible verse. And I was asking her something about, like, the verse about changing something around because of where it placed the hook at. Because we was talking over text, and I think, like, through the text, it kind of just came off the wrong way. And I think she just didn't, she wasn't really rocking with it, and she was just like, you know,
She didn't
take my verse off the song.
All right. Mm. Well, now that verse has surfaced.
I love that record, by the way. Shooters.
Yes, the song Shooters. Here is Nicki's verse.
All I want to do is go out trapping with the guns. They say we bad. I say we some murderers. Shouty say he got enough to pay for all my bitches. Shouty is you down to get that to all my bitches. I came in. I just pulled it off the lot. I ain't talking ball, every baller want a shot. I get a rock like a Pyrex and a pot. Tell me if you copping, cause it's backups if you not.
Man, it could have been, she should have rapped. Like, it should have been harder.
I like it.
I think she should have rapped. I mean, the singing part where she started off singing was cool, but I want to hear rap.
Yeah, rap. That sounds hard.
He could have just asked for another additional verse, maybe, but I liked it. I don't know. That's just me. All right, Tina Turner. She has forgiven Ike Turner. Now, we all know the What's Love Got to Do With It story. When Tina Turner met Ike Turner, she was only 16 years old. They got married, and he was constantly slapping her. He admits to punching her to the ground without thinking, but he says he never beat her. Isn't that beating someone?
Say what?
He says that he did slap her and punch her to the ground without thinking, but he said he never beat her.
Well, that you can forgive him, Tina, okay? We've seen the movie. I was watching that movie this weekend. I watch it every time.
That's
it's
one of my favorite movies.
Absolutely. And the older you get and you see what Ike was doing to Tina, you cringe even more. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe you want to forgive him, but we don't got to forgive
him.
Well,
she said, as an old person, I have forgiven him, but I would not work with him. He has asked for one more tour with me, and I said, absolutely not.
Wait a minute. Ike's still alive?
Yes.
I guess so, if he asked for a tour.
I thought Ike Turner died. I swear I thought Ike Turner was dead.
No, I think he's still alive. Isn't he still alive?
If he's asking for a tour, I'm sure he's alive.
Somebody Google that just to make sure, goddammit.
I actually saw him one time when I was at the Grammys. He was outside the Grammys one year. Anyway, she said...
this says he died December 12, 2007.
I thought he was still alive.
What the hell are y'all talking about?
How was he asking for a tour then?
I don't know. Y'all just be saying anything on this damn show.
Well, she said it. She said, as an old person, I've forgiven him, but it would not work with him. He asked for one more tour with me, and I said, no, absolutely not. This is in the Times.
He asked for one more tour.
That was before.
She said, Ike wasn't someone you could forgive and allow him back in. And she said, it's all gone, all forgotten. I don't know what the dreams are about. The dreams are still there, not the violence, the anger. I wonder if I'm still holding something in.
Listen, I don't even know how accurate that movie was, but if that movie was even 50% as accurate as it was in real life, yeah, you ain't gonna never forgive that man.
Mm-mm.
Especially when it rains and it's cold out and your bones hurt.
He was treating her so crazy.
You think?
I don't even know if I guess you forgive for your own self to let it go, but you never, ever... forget and
never
you just move on and never ever associate with that person again.
The wildest part of that movie, one of the wildest parts, when he was trying to make her eat the cake in the restaurant.
Eat the cake, anime.
But he didn't just beat up anime in that restaurant. He slapped another chick in that restaurant too. And then just sat down like it was nothing. And nobody called the police or anything.
Ike was crazy.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
My goodness. All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Donkey today is going to the police officers in Sacramento who murdered 22-year-old Stephon Clark. I'm just doing it to talk about it and get it off my chest because I really don't have any answers, any solutions.
All right.
Nothing. Let's just talk for a second.
All right. We'll do that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty
funny.
Charlamagne
the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yep. Donkey of the Day for Thursday, March 22nd, goes to police officers in Sacramento who murdered 22-year-old Stephon Clark. Rest in peace to Stephon. Stephon was in the backyard of the home he shared with his grandparents and some of his siblings when he was shot and killed. Let's go to CBS News for the report, please.
Police shooting death of a Sacramento man over the weekend. Police confirm they fired at Stephon Clark 20 times.
According to police, Stephon Clark was breaking car windows and a home glass door in South Sacramento when confronted by police in his grandparents' backyard. Police say he extended his arms with something in his hands.
Fearing for their safety, the officers fired their duty weapon, striking the subject multiple times.
Clark was killed. Only a cell phone recovered at the scene. An oversight committee will review the investigation.
Now, there were two officers at the scene that night that fired the weapons 10 times each.
Listen, man. My name is Charlamagne Tha God. I have never been in the BSing the listening audience. I have told you all time and time again that I am not an expert of anything. I'm just a man who has lived almost 40 years on this planet, and I have some experiences, and I share my experiences. If you learn from them, great. If you don't, that's cool, too. I'm saying all that to say, don't look for me to say anything in this Donkey of the Day that will remotely sound like a solution when it comes to the killing of unarmed black men in this country at the hands of the police. I don't have one bright idea. Now, you hear this story, and you're saying, well, why was Stephon Clark breaking car windows? Why was he running? All those questions are deflections from, well, why did the cop shoot an unarmed black man 20 times? Okay, he was running because he was scared. He was scared because he committed a crime, and he was scared because the cops came. And when you are a black man in America, you aren't just running from the cops because you committed a crime. You are running from cops because you fear for your life. And he probably thought to himself, I'm close to home. Home is truly where the heart is. Your own backyard is where you're supposed to feel the most comfortable. So Stephon probably thought, let me get home and then I'll surrender. It probably felt like a safe space for him to surrender to the police. But little did Stephon know that the cops he was dealing with couldn't tell a gun from a cell phone, which always seems to be the case when a black man is involved. If you have a cell phone in your hand and, you know, you're black, cops see a gun. If you have a remote control in your hand and you're black, cops see a gun. If you are holding a large cup of lemonade from Chick-fil-A in your hand and you are black, cops will see a gun. So I don't have any answers on how to avoid getting shot by police. It's really the luck of the draw. And I don't even believe in luck. I just know that if a cop draws his gun and you're a black man, you're lucky you don't get shot. Okay, I mean, these kids who shoot up these schools always just get arrested. For some strange reason, a black man committing petty crimes like breaking car windows sparks more fear in a police officer than a white kid who shoots and kills dozens of people. Look, I don't know, okay? I have not a clue what to say or what to do about any of this anymore. I can't stop being black, and I don't want to, okay? It's a lot of fun. All right, it's a fun, anxiety-filled experience being in this melanin, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I just don't understand why people, including law enforcement, are so terrified of it, okay? The cycle has to break, and it has to break soon. Cops are scared of black and brown people. Black and brown people are scared of the cops. Only difference is we don't have the license to kill that cops do, okay? Civilians can't gun down a cop and use the excuse, I was afraid for my life, I feared for my safety, even though we are. But cops can gun us down when all we are doing is holding a cell phone and say they fear for their lives, they fear for their safety. So I understand your fear, but nah, man. Cops, you have all the power in these situations, okay? As a black man in America, when we are in these positions where it's us against the cops are truly Thanos with all the Infinity Stones at their disposal. Now, I'm going to play the audio of Stephon Clark being gunned down and murdered by the police in Sacramento because all I can think to do in these situations is address the problem because I have no solutions, and maybe addressing the problem will lead to some solutions from somebody, but they won't be me. Let's listen to 22-year-old Stephon Clark's last moments on this earth.
Hey! Show me your hands! Stay up! By some sound. Show me your hands! Gun! Oh. Fire 7 shots fired, subject down. Show me your hands!
I see your hands!
5-7, he's down. No movement. We're going to need additional units. We can't see the gun. Hey, can you hear us? If you can hear us.
We need to know if you're okay. We need to get you medics, but we can't go over there to get you help unless we know you don't have the weapon.
We're going to need CPR stuff. Rescue Master, CPR.
Of course you can't see the gun. How can you see what doesn't exist? And I hate when they call CPR and stuff. You just fired 20 rounds. CPR for what? Don't act like you care about my life after you fired 20 rounds. Asking someone if they okay after you fired 20 rounds and they not moving. I don't know, man. Maybe they've been watching too much Luke Cage on Netflix and they really think black people are bulletproof. Okay? I have zero answers. All right? I'm at the point in my life where I think they just ask us to put our hands up so they can get a clear shot at our chest. Okay? And when a cop asks you to put your hands up, that's something you have to think about, too, because I really don't want to make any sudden movements. It's just, I don't know. It's just frustrating, to say the least. Mm. And that's really saying the least, okay?
His poor family.
R.I.P. to Stephon Clark, and please give the cops in Sacramento who murdered this young man the biggest hee-haw.
That's very sad. And what I don't understand as well is I thought there was a protocol for police shooting. I thought at least there was a protocol that if they shot three times and then assessed the situation. But they shot 20 times. There was no shooting back.
I'll be honest with you. I think three times is too much.
It's just crazy.
Fire, warning shot. And that's that.
All right.
Well, thank you for that, Donkey, today. Up next, Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you got relationship advice and need any type of advice, you can call Ye right now. Phone lines are wide open. 800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hi, good morning. This is Gary. How are you?
Hey, Gary. How's it going, brother?
I'm doing well, Envy.
What's your question for Yee?
I caught my wife cheating. I've been with her for 11 years. Mm-hmm. And we've been married for a year and a half, and I was contemplating suicide at the time because I thought she would never do it, but I'm still struggling trying to find out if I should stay with her or not. I really love her, and I don't want to leave, but it's every day that I want to leave.
Right. Well, first of all, I'm glad that you didn't do anything like commit suicide, because we would hate to not have you here on this planet with us. And I'm sure there's so many people that love you and care about you that would hate for something like that to happen. It would affect them so much. So you can't make rash decisions like that just because something terrible has happened in your life. And just know that other people have gone through what you've gone through and made it through that.
Yes. This is my second time going through this with my last wife. And I feel less worried, like I'm doing something wrong.
It's definitely not you. I'm going to be honest with you. Cheating is a very common thing in relationships, and you should never blame yourself because of somebody else's indiscretions. It seems more like issues that they have.
Yes.
And I'm sure everybody in this room can attest to the fact that we've all been cheated on, right, guys?
No.
I ain't never been cheated on by my wife. Cheated on my girl when she was in college when she wasn't my wife. Right. I can't relate to what you're going through, brother, and I don't want to feel your pain either.
Charlamagne, it hurts every day. I'm still struggling now, man.
Yeah, Charlamagne, he was contemplating killing himself.
I could imagine. But
when you asked me a question, I gave an answer.
What you got to do is you got to remember that it's not you. And what you have to do is you might have to go to church. You might have to go get some therapy.
You might have
to talk to somebody. But do you have any kids?
I have a lot.
Well, there you go. There's no reason to lose your life when so many people depend on you and so many people care about you. You got to remember that.
Yes,
and as far as your wife is concerned, has she apologized? Do you forgive her? Is she trying to make right?
It's up in the air. I mean, she doesn't say the word, I'm sorry. She shows with her actions. That's what type of person she is.
Are you staying with her?
He's contemplating whether or not he should stay with her. But what I think you need to do is, first of all, focus on you. Okay, before you even can figure out what's going to happen in this relationship and how to move forward, you need to fix yourself and focus on being confident in yourself and knowing that what someone else does not define you, it defines them.
Okay.
So she has some issues that she needs to deal with. She has a lot of proving that she needs to do to you, because if she cares about you and she loves you, she would not want to hurt you in the way that she does. And sometimes people can't even explain why they've done the things that they've done. I'm sure that she didn't cheat on you because she doesn't love you or because, you know, you're not enough for her, but she's probably done that because of her own issues that she has within herself.
But why did she cheat?
Said.
Did she say why she cheated?
Does it matter?
I can't say too much because people know who she is, but...
Bruh, can we look at the bright side? You have the ultimate hall pass right now. The best way to get over a woman is to get on top of another one.
That's not true.
I'm not like that anymore, man.
That actually might make you feel a lot worse when he's stuck on his wife and he wants his family back and he wants to make things right. You got to have a conversation and tell her how you feel, and she has to apologize. She has to understand that she was wrong, and she has to be remorseful. She can't just say, okay, I'm sorry, and keep it moving. It doesn't work like that.
But what you need to do, sir, is you need to worry about yourself and do whatever you need to do to make yourself better, and that is definitely going to take time.
Yes, ma'am.
And you have to understand that, of course, you're going to be depressed. Of course you're hurt. Of course you're upset. You're a human being.
Yeah.
And that's how you feel, but it will pass.
Does she still want to be with you?
She does. She says she wants to be with me, and she wants to be the faithful wife that I want. But when you say stuff like that, I want you to be who you are.
Hey, man.
Just take your time, and no matter what it is that you do, you don't have to make a decision right now. And the only way that she can prove herself to you is by time.
It might take years for you to feel like you can trust her again.
But if she's dedicated and willing to do that, and that's up to you, whether or not you want to allow her or give her that opportunity to prove herself, it's completely up to you. But in the meantime, you need to do things that are going to make you feel better about yourself, about your life,
to get your confidence back.
Whatever it is that you have to do for yourself, you need to take the time to do that. You need to be selfish.
I don't know how to be.
Mm-hmm.
Go get another vagina.
It's not going to be easy, but it'll take time, and you'll get through it, bro.
And work on your mental health as well. Work on your mind. Work on all of those things.
Okay. I don't want to be here, but I have friends and family that helps me through it.
And right. I promise you, soon as you get some other vagina, you'll feel better.
As far as your wife, the best
apology is change behavior. So she can say sorry, but she got to stop popping that poom poom for other goons.
And right? I just want to say one last thing. Just think about things that you've gone through in the past. You said your ex-wife cheated on you as well. You got over that, right?
I did, but I was in the hospital. It took a while.
And you got through it. So all I'm saying is it does take a while, but you will get through it.
You'll get through it.
Does take time, and you have to make sure that you're here to make sure you get through it.
How'd you get over your ex? You got over your ex by what? Getting with another woman, right?
I did not, Charlamagne.
How'd you get over her then?
Through the grace of God and in the hospital.
No doubt. And after a while, you got with another woman, right?
When you're ready, you can make whatever decision you want to make.
I'm not trying to rush to do that. And also, today is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday, brother.
Man, where you at so I can send you a prostitute? Where you live at?
And my mother died on my birthday as well.
Oh, Lord. You know what? I'm leaving the room.
Well, you know what?
God bless you.
We're going to put you on hold, man, and we're going to take your number and check up on you, man, to make sure everything is good, man.
All right, and I'm glad you and your wife are doing better, too, Envy, and thank you for everybody on that show.
But have a good day. Hold on, brother, don't hang up. Think about it.
Me and my wife, we've been going through it for 6 years, and there's ups, there's downs, but we push harder, and we both try to make it work, and I do what I have to do as a man to show that I'm sorry.
And Envy actually had a situation where he, too, had to go to the hospital.
Yeah, sometimes things happen, but we're going to put you on hold, all right?
All right, thank you both. You guys have a good day.
All right, brother.
Happy birthday.
It's that man's birthday. He need a drink and a prostitute. Okay, I wish I was his homeboy. We're going to have some fun today.
800-585-1051. You got a question? Call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yo, Chief.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, on the line right now, we have a young lady that called a couple of weeks ago. Her name is Ebony. Ebony, hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing good. Now, last time you called, you needed some advice. You wanted a raise, and Yee helped you out, right?
Yes, she did.
All right, so, Ebony, let's do a little recap. So you called up and explain what happened.
So I called you guys. I actually called you guys Wednesday, February 21st, because I reported myself. So I asked my boss for a raise. You had gave me that advice. You told me what to do.
Hold on, Ebony. Ebony, we actually have the clip when you called in last time, so let's play it now.
I just started this job. I took a pay cut to come to this job. I was making $14.50 at first, and then I took a pay cut, like a $2.50 pay cut. This is our third month of being open. It's a fast food industry. I never worked in fast food, so this is something new to me. I'm always doing, like, receptionist or call center. So my boss is giving, he gave three people a 50-cent raise.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I need a raise. Like, he keeps talking to me about it, but he still haven't, like, gave me a raise.
But what is it that makes you feel like you deserve a raise?
My hard work. I'm the only manager there. I train everyone. Then he was bringing people on, starting off at 13 higher than me.
What you have to do is set up a meeting with your boss. So this is official sit down of you sitting down to ask for what it is that you feel that you deserve. Make sure you have a list and documents of everything showing why you deserve that raise. What are your responsibilities? How have you gone above and beyond those responsibilities? Offer to say, what is it that I need to do if you feel like at this point in time I'm not going to get a raise? What do I need to do to earn that raise? Or are there additional responsibilities that I can take on so that I can make more money here because I have been putting forth all of this extra work? All right, so Ebony, tell me what happened.
Okay, he actually approached me. It was one stressful day at work. I worked at fast food. It was so stressful. I was running from the house to back of the house. A lot of employees did not show up. So towards the lunch rush, everything was over with. He called me to his office. He was like, before I walked off, he was like, Ebony, can I tell you something? I said, yes, because I'm giving you a raise. And he told me that I was so happy. He didn't want me to tell anyone. But I told my parents, I was extremely happy. And he said, I do realize all your hard work. And it was right before the deadline that I told you about, right before April.
But I'm nervous right now.
I can't even get everything.
We are very excited for you, Ebony. See, there you have it. Your hard work did not go unnoticed.
Yes, now, I'm like, oh my goodness, I was so happy.
Now, when he offered you a raise, did you barter at all and ask for more?
No, I didn't. My boyfriend said I should ask for more, but it was actually like a $2 raise. So I'm making a lot more. This is my highest paying job I ever had. So my boyfriend was like, you should ask for more. I'm like, I think that was worth it. And then I'm starting my own business also, so...
All right, Ebony. Well, we're very happy and proud of you up here on The Breakfast Club. You're a go-getter, so we're really, really happy. And that's why no matter what, when you're working a job, even if you feel like you're not getting paid what you should be getting paid, you always got to put forth the best effort because you never know who's watching and what can happen from it. No reason to do a job and agree to do something if you're not going to put forth your best effort.
Yes, that's so true. Life is what you make. If you hate your job every day, you're going to hate your life every day.
There you go.
All right, Ebony. Congratulations.
Congrats,
I'm glad you're happy.
Thank you.
All righty, mama.
Thank you. I love you, Charlamagne.
I love you too, boo.
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you could call her anytime. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to talk about Princess Love versus Brandy. We gave you the story that they did not show up to Princess Love's baby shower because they had an argument. Well, now it seems like Princess Love thinks Brandy's being phony.
Okay. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Happy Thursday to you and yours.
What's happening?
Let's get to these rumors. Princess Love, Brandy, ding.
The wag is in the game right now. What happened?
Jesus Christ.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee.
Wow.
On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Where do you go from there?
Well, we told you before about Princess Love, and she had her baby shower. Brandy and her mom did not show up to the baby shower. Apparently, they were upset about some posts she had done after she was mad at Ray J. She felt that he had, I guess, cheated on her. Well, Brandy did do a post. Congrats to my brother and sister on their baby and baby shower. I'm very excited to be an auntie. So sorry I missed this moment with the both of you. I had a show in Hampton, Virginia on the same day. But I'm so glad I was able to push my flight back for the gender reveal the day before. There is nothing here but love. And no matter what anyone says, we are family and we will always be. That's when Princess Love responded, STFU posting this. I should post what you just text me. So I guess that's her way of saying that Brandy's not keeping it real.
It's lying.
Yeah. All right.
She probably is, more than likely, fronting for the gram.
Yeah, fronting for the gram, because she probably didn't like that negative press about her not showing up to the baby shower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she probably think that by posting something, people will be like, well, no, Brandy doesn't hate Princess, because if she did, she wouldn't have posted this.
All right. Well, I think Ray J's coming here next week anyway, so we'll ask him about all of that. All right, Rich the Kid. He is married, and you know Rich the Kid from the New Freezer song. I keep trying to get you guys to
New
do the
Freezer
challenge.
Yep.
Yeah, the song with
I'm
him.
A grown ass man.
Kendrick.
Mm-hmm. I don't know Freezer challenge.
Anyway, apparently he's married to a woman named Antoinette, and she is now asking for full physical custody of their two kids. And she wants joint legal custody and spousal support as well, because she plans to get a divorce. Now, previously she had posted on social media that he was cheating on her with a number of different women. And she also had accused him of domestic violence back in 2016. So the reports are that they do have one child together, but she accused him of cheating with people like Black China, India Love, amongst other women. All right.
That's a nice little roster. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to go out blazing. You know what I mean?
I'm sure he don't want to go out blazing.
Hey, man, if you're going to go out blazing, that's a nice little roster to have, you know?
All right, SZA, she is now talking once again, and she actually has done this before, about leaving music and saying that her next album will be her last album. She said, my world got so much smaller so fast. I have so much to write about. I feel like I'm in a cage. I'm making the best album of my life for this next album, and I know that because it's going to be my last album.
I hope that's not true.
I hope it's not true, too, because SZA is super talented.
She is.
She writes for other people. Her album was incredible. I know if she says this next one is going to be even better, I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. But maybe what she means is she's not going to do albums anymore.
Maybe continue to write.
By the way, everybody that we've ever heard say that has continued to put out more music. And the one person who never said that and stuck with it was Lauryn Hill. Okay, so if you're going to do it, just do it.
Right? All right, well, don't forget the Control version, the deluxe version of Control is coming out sometime this year. So there'll be 6 new songs on that. Mm-hmm. So you'll have that as well as another album on the way. Now, Kanye is having some issues about using the Yeezy name legally. For whatever reason, he has that name trademarked for his shoes, his footwear, since 2013. But he abandoned the trademark for other clothing items besides shoes just last year. And another company in China actually seized that opportunity, and they trademarked the term Yeezy Boost for their clothing products. So now there's some issues with Kanye trying to get that name back. He refiled for an application, but they're saying another company has that trademark now.
Well, that'll be a quick fix. He could call it Ye. He does so many different things. People care about the sneakers.
But I'm sure he does. You also don't want people to buy something else called Yeezy.
They're
not
going to
really
buy nothing other than Adidas and Ye. He's good.
All right, he also has the Yeezy dating app, and I've been seeing this for quite some time.
I don't understand this. Is that his app, or is that somebody else using his name?
Now, it got started by a fan on Crowdfunder. Named Harry Dry. He said, I've been building a dating site for Kanye West fans for the last month or so, and I'm very close to finishing it. I just need a little help with the final development marketing. And that dating app is not open to fans of Taylor Swift, just so you know. So if you're a Taylor Swift fan, you cannot go on this Yeezy dating app.
But I'm pumped.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. You want to hear something? At DJ Envy, call us up right now, 800-585-1051. Get your request in, and I got you, all right? It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.